Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We are going to be talking today about Alex Cross. We're going to be talking about Paranormal Activity 4 and some other scary movies. Because it's Halloween week.
It's such an exciting week at the movies, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
so exciting.
And then next week, we won't talk about next week, because I think it's had such a great October. Next week is going to make up for it all. There's also going to be DVDs and Blu-rays we're going to be talking about. But first, I want to bring something up to you. I don't know whether you've noticed this, because we both get a lot of the Disney releases on home video, which is, they've gone, I remember when they did VHS, and you could request VHSs. I was at the tail end of that, and the release would say, coming to VHS, and then you say, coming to VHS and DVD. And then suddenly it was coming to DVD and VHS, so DVD kind of usurped it, and they stopped doing VHS, and the same thing happened with Blu-ray, where it was coming to DVD and Blu-ray, now it's coming to Blu-ray
and DVD.
What I find interesting, Disney's an interesting company because they always put stuff in and out of the vault. They're notorious for that.
Right.
And every format you have, whether it's VHS, DVD, or Blu-ray, you're lucky to get maybe two releases, out-of-the-vault releases of any of their classic films.
That's true. Yep.
And they have their like top-tier ones. Stuff like, you know, we talked about Cinderella a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
That one has recently come to Blu-ray. And recently they've done movies like The Lion King, which they remastered into 3D. And they did a big release for that. And they did a big release for Beauty and the Beast. And they've done all these platinum releases. They have suddenly flooded the market with a bunch of their Blu-ray releases of their lesser titles.
Right.
There was stuff like The Rescuers, and The Rescuers Down Under got a two-pack. Pocahontas and Pocahontas 2, The Journey to the New World, got a two-pack.
Right, yeah.
Aristocats got a re-release.
And a lot of those, they all came out, just dumped them out the same week.
Yeah, and that's not how they did them when they went to DVD. About 7 or 8 years ago, they were just releasing, like, you get one every 3 months out of the vault, and then they go, you know, out, back in the vault. And I remember Lady and the Tramp was like that a couple of years ago. Somebody was asking me, hey, can you get a copy? They're like $50 for used copies on, you know, on eBay and Amazon.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking, I wonder if Disney's preparing to put a lot of them back in the vault for something new. That's my big conspiracy theory right now.
And what is it?
I think they're going to go to a streaming platform.
Brainchip?
Maybe. And maybe Brainchip will be a little farther down
the line. You think? Because I would like a Disney Brainchip. I could do that.
That would be interesting. You'd sing very well. And there'd be bluebirds, animated bluebirds flying around. And you would dress like a Disney princess. I'd dress like a Disney princess.
I would like that.
Nobody would like that. Nobody would want to see me dress
as a
Disney princess.
I think you'd look good in a bustle.
Well, you know, the hustle and the bustle will work for me. But no, I think that's what they're going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, and not going to happen like next year, but a couple of years down the road, I think Disney's prepping to start re-releasing all their stuff again.
And they are kind of slowly doing that. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times when you get the Blu-rays now, you can buy the digital copies and things like that. So
they come with digital copy, ultraviolet. Although Disney doesn't do ultraviolet, that's Universal. So all these different streaming options.
Warner does
that. And BD Live. But I wouldn't be surprised if it starts going to a streaming technology and they're going to partner with somebody like any of the many providers, Netflix, Vudu, Hulu, any of these places.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is just buy a license for it. And you can then download it whenever. That's, I think, where it might be going.
It could be.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Or you can download it. You can then direct download it to your computer and then before it goes in the vault kind of thing. Because they don't want to stop you from actually watching it.
It's true.
Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You know, we have an email. Well, we'll read those. We'll read that right after we do the contact information, because we did have an email.
Yes, we do.
Shows that that validates us.
Yes.
So if you want to
hear. There is somebody listening.
We will read it on the air.
Yeah.
FatGuys@FilmSchoolRejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. And you can find us on the web at FatGuysInTheMovies.com or on Facebook at Facebook.com/FGATM. Or you can reach me on Twitter at Twitter.com/Kevin Carr. And you are looking for Twitter addresses this week.
I am trying. You know, I've been harassed about it for how long by you?
Yeah.
And finally, you know, I got sick of it and I thought, okay, just for Kevin, I'm going to go to Twitter.
You're not that old.
I'm not that old?
You're not that old. You can still get into Twitter.
Okay.
Did you find a name for yourself, though?
No, I haven't. That's the problem. So I get in there and I think, okay, this is why I should have joined, you know, signed up for Twitter like a year ago. Because now all the names are gone.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to come up with something.
So you got to come up with something like KDK is da bomb.
Right.
At Twitter.
That's probably taken. It wouldn't surprise me if that was taken.
I could rattle off some really creative Twitter handles, but I would probably get kicked off the radio.
So, yeah, if anybody can come up with one for me that, you know, would work, you can send us an email.
Yeah. Yes. I hear that. Well, binders of women or women binders is taken already.
Well, there goes that idea.
Not to get political or anything like that.
So
let's read the email. Or do you want to tell where you tell? Give your contact information.
Yes.
If you want to get in touch with
you. Can find me at nightsandweekends.com.
Yay.
Realdiscovery.org. Or I am actually on Facebook. You can find me there.
No, that too.
And eventually on Twitter, if I can ever come up with a name.
She'll be at KDK1285769.
Yes. That's what's left. That's what they're suggesting.
Random number.
Yeah. I can do KDK Kramer.
Oh.
Which?
Katie Kramer. Katie Kramer's probably already taken.
Yeah, that's taken. Yeah. But KDK Kramer isn't.
People.
And I was like, well, what is the point of that? That doesn't make any sense.
People nowadays.
So.
You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And we're going to read an email we got. Why don't you go ahead and read? This is from our good friend Thomas from Seattle.
Yes.
He's written before.
And Thomas writes, it has been a while since I sent a question your way. Here
yes,
goes. Does the environment you see a movie in color your perceptions of that movie forever? Mm-hmm. I had the misfortune of seeing The Wild Bunch with William Holden for the first time when I had a severe case of the flu. And to this day, I really can't watch it. Even though I know it is a classic, and William Holden is one of my favorites. Mm.
Did he see it with William Holden? That's when I read that email first, I thought,
well,
wow, that's impressive.
That may have changed your perception of the movie.
It's like I went and saw True Grit with John Wayne, and he wouldn't let me not like it.
Well, yeah.
So, does that bother you? Does the way you see a movie or the conditions?
You know, I was trying to think about that ever since we got the email.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've ever had a negative reaction like that.
Okay.
I've had positive reactions that, you know, you go to a screening and the screening is so good and it's so much fun and that just makes it so much better.
Yeah.
You know, like a few years ago when all the critics in town went out for drinks before we went to see Snakes on a Plane.
Yes.
Now, that's one of those things that you have such a good time that you can't hate the movie.
I had a bitter experience with that because they wouldn't let me bring rubber snakes into the
movie
theater.
That's true. I do remember that.
They literally would not let me do it. And I'm like, what am I going to do with They're not
but
real
snakes. But
I've got snakes.
Snakes.
I mean, it's like, what am I? I don't get what they were upset about.
No.
But it is, if you do go with a group and it's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of people had that reaction. There was a group of guys down in Austin who went and saw, I think it was Shark Night last year.
Okay.
And I hated it. And they're like, oh, you just didn't get it. I'm like, you guys went and got drunk and then went and saw Shark Night at midnight. Of course it was awesome.
Well, yeah. It's not that the movie was awesome. It was just a lot of fun.
It was just, we were drunk with friends and we enjoyed it.
And I think, you know, if the screening is really bad and I've got some obnoxious woman sitting next to me and somebody kicking the seat behind me, yeah, I'll probably like it a little less.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever had an experience that I just couldn't watch a movie just because of the experience.
Yeah, the experience doesn't make it happen, but I think it can affect it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Son of Mask, and I had a fever of like 103 when I saw it.
That's
and so it was even worse. Or like, if you see it, and it's just a bad movie,
or
and
like,
it's a terrible experience, and you're just like, oh, it's...
Or like when we had to drive through an ice storm to get to Norbit.
Norbit.
Now, I'm thinking that I probably wouldn't have liked Norbit anyway, but, you know, it did kind of...
Yeah, what are the Vegas odds on you liking Norbit? That's what I wanted to... But no, I mean, but I have seen movies in a terrible environment and really enjoyed them. And it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
The best example I can think of with that was I saw Simon Birch. Have you ever seen Simon Birch?
Yep.
Like 15 years ago or something like that. My wife and I had gone to Hawaii for a second honeymoon and we had gotten sunburned.
Oh.
Like the day before we left and we were in a plane flying.
Oh, that's no good.
You know, west to east. You know, so in the storm, and it was on a plane, and I was trying. It was uncomfortable because my back was killing me, and I'm watching Simon Birch, and I'm like enraptured with this movie, and I'm like, that's a good movie. That makes it a good movie.
Yeah.
That it superseded the experience. So, Thanks for the question, Thomas. We will.
Thanks, Thomas.
Give us a good word in with William Holden. when we get back, we got to go to a break. But when we get back, we're going to be talking about Paranormal Activity and scary movies. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're going to be talking this segment about Paranormal Activity 4, which...
14.
It doesn't matter. It's no. Another Paranormal Activity movie. We're also going to talk a little bit about scary movies, just what scary movies we've seen that we liked.
We've seen? Because that's a long list for you.
Pretty much all.
This could be a long show.
Let's talk about Paranormal Activity 4 first. This is 5 years after Katie kidnaps Baby Hunter and a family witnesses eerie events when a mysterious woman and her child move next door.
I don't know what it is, but I've just been hearing a lot of noises.
And like all this weird stuff has been happening since the new neighbors moved in.
Lights go off all the time, buddy.
It's happening again. The motion lights have been turning on and off every night.
Yeah, right.
Bet you it's gonna be that weird kid from across the street. Watch.
You see him? He's so creepy.
What is he doing?
Freaky, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the Paranormal Activity
movies? Not a single one.
Not at all?
No.
Have you not wanted to?
I thought about seeing the first one.
Well, that counts.
Yeah, I thought about
Thinking about it counts.
And there was a screening, and it was kind of late at night, and, you know, the circumstances weren't all that great, so I missed the screening. And then I thought about seeing it afterwards, and I heard from people whose opinion I valued that it was just boring.
Yeah.
So after that, I was like, meh. And I haven't seen any of them since. Because, you know, I figured after you miss the first one, then you're so far behind that you can't catch up anymore.
Sort of like coming in on Leprechaun when he goes to the hood.
Oh, well, yeah.
I saw the first one. It actually made my top 10 list for no other reason than... It wasn't as that it was such a fantastic movie, but it had some real moxie behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that it was this really micro budget.
Right, yeah.
Nothing film that was creatively done. It was found footage, but it worked for what it was. And that it kind of just became this phenomenon. And I appreciate the same thing with Blair Witch, which isn't a fantastic movie.
No.
But I respect the process by which it came about.
Yep.
So I really did... like that, and it also gave you a reason to go see it in the theater, because it was a different experience seeing it in the theater with a crowd of people who are like, because it's one of those movies.
That's true. Scary movies like that, it's more fun to watch them in the theater.
It really, really works.
Because if you've got a woman across the aisle just screaming her lungs out, that makes it that much more fun. I had that with Insidious.
Oh, somebody was screaming?
Oh, there was a screamer right behind me, and it was awesome.
That's the best, is when people...
Yeah.
See, I saw Paranormal Activity 3... Each experience was different because I saw the first one when it was in Columbus. Like, we were one of the first five or six cities
right,
to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it then, and I really enjoyed it. But it was like a college student type thing, but everybody was into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the second one, which I did not like because of it. Just they cast like Sprague Grayson, I think Granton or something like that. She was the president's daughter in 24, and she was on Sons of Anarchy. She was Opie's wife, and she's been in a bunch of things. So you're like, well, that's the president's daughter. This is
right.
You're like not
that's
even
fake.
Trying at this point. So I didn't like that. And then there was a baby babbling the whole time. The dad wasn't taking it down. I yelled at the guy. I almost got a fight in the lobby.
There you go. Speaking of bad theater experiences.
That's true. Yeah. So there's that one. And then the third one I saw at the campus theater. And that was one where everyone was like, oh, no. Everyone's like yelling during it. It's like,
nice.
Oh, no. No. What? You hear all that throughout the movie. But I like the third one better. So I'm curious about this one. They didn't screen it. They do very limited screenings on these.
Right.
I think it's opened in the UK earlier this week, which they're doing now with movies because America's not as important.
That's true.
Oh, curses, global economy. But Paranormal Activity 4, I mean, I'm curious to see what it is. I think that the format's getting tired.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to end up... They got through seven...
Found footage.
They did six Saw movies before it completely deflated. So they might start deflating the Paranormal Activities at 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So.
And who knows what will come next?
I don't know what.
There's got to be something right around the corner.
Well, I'm actually hoping, because they had J-horror and sort of the Asian import horror and torture porn, both of those kind of have fizzled out and disappeared. Yep. But actually, I think like Sinister and Insidious, those kind of movies, where they're very directed and creepy.
Yeah, I would be good with that.
Yeah.
That's the kind I like.
I'd like to see more of those. So anyways, Paranormal Activity 4 gets a preemptive suck, even though I'm probably going to check it out sometime this weekend. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And we are talking scary movies. What are some of the scariest movies you've seen?
The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 2 when that movie came out.
2? Mm-hmm. Did you go to see it?
I did not go to see it. My parents took me to see something else. It was some Disney movie. And I was apparently...
And you were upset about it?
I was like,
because
no!
You really wanted to see The Exorcist.
I'm really into William Peter Blatty. No. But my dad took me into the bathroom. He had to go to the bathroom, and he had me in there with him after the movie. And he heard this crash, and he thought I'd knocked something over because I was 2. That's what 2-year-olds
do. It happens, yeah.
And it wasn't me. It was this guy had come out of The Exorcist and fainted into a trash can.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I recently watched The Exorcist, the director's cut, and listened to Friedkin's commentary on it. He has some really neat things to say. He's got like 3 different commentaries on it. But one of the things he says in one of the earlier commentaries is that what always freaked people out more than anything else wasn't the demonic stuff. It was all the medical torture that this girl was going through.
Yeah.
The spinal taps and the EKG, well, the EKGs aren't bad, but like the MRIs and all these awful things they're doing, they're clamping her head down.
Yeah, that's true.
And they actually use one of the scenes they, for a while, was used as a, it's when they're putting the iodine on her back, I think is the one they're doing the shunt in. They filmed a lot of that as a training video. So like the extra footage of that turned into a training video for whatever Washington, D.C. based hospital was working on it.
Nice. So, see, that movie, I saw it with a couple of friends, and I had driven to my friend's house, and I made one of my other friends follow me home.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I was so terrified after seeing that movie.
Did your head turn all the way around to look?
It may have. It does that sometimes.
Somebody throws pea soup at you. Welcome home, Christian! Splat! One of the scariest, I think the scariest movie ever on the planet for me was Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Which there have been 4 versions
There
of?
Have been several.
There have been 4. Because there was one. The original was in 1956 with Kevin McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And my dad took me to that when I was like 5. What an idiot he was. He there was the library. Because back then we didn't have VHS or anything like
right.
that.
Right. Oh.
And he took me to the local library because they were showing either prints of it or something like that. The 16mm prints of that. And like it came from outer space and The Thing and Village of the Damned. And he was afraid I was going to get worried about The Thing. With
this
James
explains
Arnaz.
A lot.
Yeah, this is me.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, he saw The Thing. He wasn't scared of The Thing. And so then he took me to Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Didn't sleep. My mom was so mad at him.
Oh, yeah.
And then in 78, when the remake came out, I so wanted to see it. They wouldn't let me see it in theaters. And I saw it like when I was in like close to junior high. I couldn't sleep. And then they made the one in 1993 with Gabrielle Lanwar. And that's terrible. And then they made the one with Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman a couple years ago, and that's even worse.
Mm.
But no, that's a terrifying movie.
That is a good one.
That's a really fantastic, scary movie. I also like, speaking of The Thing, I like the remake of The Thing, the original remake.
Really?
The 1982.
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen John Carpenter's?
No.
What were you doing with your punk outfits and your colored hair when you were in high school?
I was watching Monty Python, actually. My friend and I would go home from school and we'd drive to Blockbuster and rent all the Flying Circus videos.
Ooh.
So that's what we used to do after school. We would watch Monty Python. So while you were watching horror movies, I was watching Monty Python.
I watched Monty Python Meaning of Life when my sister and I, when we first got VCR, we went and got a copy from the radio. And my dad's like, don't watch it until I get home. And we're like, we totally have to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we saw it. Because then we started watching with my dad, and like 10 minutes in, he's like, you guys got to go upstairs. We're so clever. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Alex Cross and the box office. And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We've been talking about Paranormal Activity, but now we're going to talk about the really terrifying movie of this week, and that is Alex Cross.
Yes.
In which Tyler Perry hangs up his Madea dress. That was a disappointment.
Yeah.
To become a brilliant detective trying to track down a killer.
Alex Cross.
Got ourselves a Four Roses. Hey, Alex.
You're going to want to prepare yourself for this one. Woman was tortured to death.
Had to be at least two or three guys to pull this off.
No, this is one guy.
I'm fascinated by pain.
He's ex-military. Special forces, judging by his tactics. Trying to make somebody hurt. Want somebody to pay. Wants the world to suffer.
You go. I know you loved this movie. Have at it.
Yeah, I'm going to start by saying I like James Patterson. I like James.
He was an executive producer on this.
Well, yeah, he has his fingers in anything involved with, you know, his books or anything. I like James Patterson books. Mm. I'm reading one right now.
Yeah.
Right now. And you know, they're kind of the literary equivalent of a summer blockbuster.
Okay.
You know, they're not really...
They're a Big Mac.
Yeah. You know, they're not really new or groundbreaking or anything, but mm-hmm. they're entertaining.
Yeah.
They're fun to read. But man, is this a mess.
This movie's not a fun movie to watch.
No.
The funniest part was after the movie, I asked, we were sitting around talking with a couple other critics, and I said, does this happen in the book? And or has anyone read the book? And you're like, well, I read the book. And then you got very defensive because you're like, don't blame me.
I'm trying to figure out how the story all fits together and all the characters are off. And, you know, one of the characters that is always in the Alex Cross books is John Sampson. His best friend growing up. And,
is that Edward Burns in this movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Edward Burns is not a big black man.
Last time I checked. Well, you know what I love?
You know, and that's just part of the story. He's Samson, and that's who he is. And he's, you know, this beloved character that's in all the books. And you get Edward Burns. And I'm like, where did he come from?
We need a big, fuzzy black man with lots of, like, street smarts. Let's get Edward Burns.
Exactly.
Because that's who works for that. I wish they would have kept... first of all, I think it was a massive failure casting Tyler Perry in this.
Oh, it was... You know what I think?
Mm.
I think he actually went in auditioning for the role of the grandma.
You mean the one that rips off the Muppets? Because what's her name? Nana Mama. Nana Mama. Her name literally is Nana Mama.
Nana Mama.
Nana Mama.
Yes. So, which I think, didn't they make her his mother? I'm pretty sure in the books it's his grandma. But anyway,
no,
I'm pretty sure that's the role that Tyler Perry originally auditioned for. And because they wouldn't give it to him, he's like, oh, fine, I'll play Alex Cross.
I'll play the hero.
Okay.
Well, you know, the casting was so bad in this because...
Oh, it's terrible.
They had talked originally about Idris Elba playing. I'm like, he would have been great.
Oh, yeah.
He's fantastic in the BBC's Luther and all this. But I just don't think he's as recognizable of a name to the full audience that anybody... I mean, you say Idris Elba, not everybody knows who... Everyone knows who Tyler Perry is.
It's true.
So...
For better or for worse.
I wish they would have kept Morgan Freeman in the role and then still had Edward Burns play and talk about, like, back when we were in junior high.
Yeah.
Because they are close to the same age.
Right, yeah.
But it's so odd because you have this sort of wise-talking Irishman with a Boston-ish accent. Who lives in Detroit who went to school and grew up with a big, fuzzy, burly black dude who just really from the South.
Right.
I mean, they geographically, I don't think you could get too dissimilar and still stay in the United States.
Yes, but that's for the audience. You know, you've pretty much covered all your ground.
They say we got
with
the Irish.
Those two. You know?
This movie was, it's not even good in a bad, it's not even bad in a good way.
No, it's like bad TV movie bad.
It's really awful. And Tyler Perry, it's not that he's a bad actor, but he's not a good actor.
No.
He really
tries.
He
tries too hard. And that's the thing. You know, if they would have gotten something, if they would have put Nicolas Cage in this movie.
That would have been awesome.
It would have been fun.
It would have been so great with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
It really felt like a Nicolas Cage. But even then, and speaking very Nicolas Cagey, you had Matthew Fox from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Who had, you know, I don't know, is dying apparently because he looks so skinny.
Yeah, he's a mess.
And he sort of channels Jeff Goldblum from The Fly. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
He's so jittery and creepy, yeah. And he's got big eyes.
Yeah, but yeah, he's got crazy eyes.
Yeah, ever since I saw this movie, I have been, every once in a while, all of a sudden, it'll just come to me, something else that was completely stupid from this movie, and I'll just have to tell somebody about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Real quick, what is your rating on Alex Cross?
Oh, totally rocks.
Totally rocks, really? I say that with
it
irony.
It sucks.
It sucks so bad. anyways, and to see how bad it's going to suck, let's see if it wins this weekend. But before we talk about who's going to do you think that it's going to win? Do you think Alex Cross has a ghost of a chance of beating Paranormal Activity?
I'm going to give it to Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
Paranormal Activity is the big one. They're doing like tons of midnight and 9 o'clock showings of this around the city on Thursday nights.
Yep.
So it's one of those that it's going to win the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be front loaded. It's going to have all whatever it's already made on Thursday and Friday. It's going to just double that for the weekend. But yeah, I don't think Tyler Perry in a non-Madea movie is really going to bring out his audience.
No.
And no one else. So.
The woman sitting next to me loved it.
Well, it was a free movie. You can't judge that. The people loved Geely when they showed Geely for a free movie. And
I think she was crying.
Well, of course she was.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tyler Perry was crying.
Yeah.
You know, Nicholas Harum, who of course, a friend of the show, and he's been on, and you guys do a show together. He had a great idea. He said he wished that Tyler Perry would have also played, like, Matthew Fox's character, but as Madea.
Oh.
And then he could have, like, been talking on the cell phone with himself, and then you kind of merge it together at the end. He's, like, the same guy.
Oh. See, now that would have been thrilling.
That's actually a brilliant idea.
And then he could have played his wife and his grandma.
And his grandma. And his daughter. And his son, who they kind of, like, vaguely mention at one point, and then
he might
shows
be
up
in there somewhere.
He's like, yeah. You have another one? Really? I didn't know that. Anyways, who won last weekend? I was completely wrong. Here Comes the Boom came in fifth.
I gotta tell you. My faith in humanity has been restored.
Well, just wait. Alex Cross will make $50 million this weekend, and then you'll be like, yeah, you know what?
Never mind.
It's gone.
Just for 1 week. It's okay. Yeah. I am basking in it now. Thank you to everyone who didn't see Here Comes the Boom.
Yeah. I got a lot of hits off my review because my pull quote on Rotten Tomatoes was superior to Warrior in every way. And just everyone hated me for it. But it was true because I hated Warrior. But the one that won was Taken 2 in its second week out, almost $22 million. And then Argo.
Yay.
Argo, Sinister, and Hotel Transylvania were kind of in a horse race. And yep. That's great for Argo because I didn't think it was going to do as well.
No, I am pleasantly surprised.
And you have that's two pretty strong R-rated movies.
Yeah.
Adult movies. Not adult movies, but.
Well.
But that's actually pretty good. This is a pretty high box office. It'll go completely down next week when you have stuff like Fun Size. And Chasing Mavericks.
Well, there's that.
Hotel Transylvania did 17.2. Then Seven Psychopaths came in ninth with $4.2 million.
Yeah.
Which isn't that good. But the one that's really interesting, I have to point this out. We didn't review this last week because we didn't see it. They didn't screen it. And then I didn't bother to see it over the weekend. So I don't know if it's good or not. I'm assuming it's not. That is Atlas Shrugged Part 2.
We did talk about it.
But not to be political. I don't want to get political about it. But it came in 11th with $1.75 million, which, for perspective, the Atlas Shrugged Part 1, which opened in less than a third of the theaters, made only $60,000 less its first weekend.
Wow.
So it pretty much matched what that first movie made in a lot more theaters.
Hmm.
So that's not boding well.
No, not so good.
Atlas Shrugged. And it's... Here's the disinterest in Atlas Shrugged. I do other radio calls and I review movies around the country, and I do stations that are like, I do various stations, but some of the stations are like Clear Channel stations. I do some are very conservative. Like there's one station I do in Memphis that they play the morning update from Rush Limbaugh right after my show, so it's definitely a conservative talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even ask about Atlas Shrugged, and I'm like, well, nobody cares about this movie now.
Nobody cares.
So Atlas Shrugged, apparently Atlas just left the building, and this will sink like a stone. I'll be curious.
Even Atlas doesn't care. Atlas just shrugged.
He's like, whatever. Whatevs, dude. Anyways, we should probably go. We'll see what happens next week. And I think Paranormal Activity will make a good $60 million. I think it'll make $150 trillion. We got to go do a break, and when we come back, DVDs. Welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We have been talking about movies, but now we're going to be talking about movies on a different format.
We've been talking about movies, and now we're going to talk about movies.
Movies in a different way.
Movies.
You don't have to go to the theater to see it. It is time for the world-famous DVD Roundup.
Woo!
Woo-hoo! Yes!
Ha-ha!
We need to get... I need to pull out my whip again. Oh, for this.
Oh,
no, don't... Awkward moment in the magical studio in the sky. Anyways, a new on DVD and Blu-ray. What my top pick is Moonrise Kingdom.
I would agree with you.
Are you a big Wes Anderson fan?
I'm not a huge Wes Anderson fan.
Okay.
But I have loved some of his recent movies.
Okay.
You know, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, beautiful.
Love that. And that's one that I liked it the first time, but I think I've seen it 4 or 5 times since then, and it just gets better every time.
It's such an awesome movie.
Yes.
It's one that you wouldn't think that Roald Dahl would work with Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
But his quirkiness and bizarreness, and it fits the book pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I love Fantastic Mr. Fox. If you haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom, check it out. It's keep your eye on it for the award season, because I think you're going to see it, like, best screenplay you might see.
Yeah, I can see that.
Especially for the smaller awards, like sort of like the Independent Spirit Awards. Mm-hmm. Stuff, you'll see the kids get some nominations. It's about these two campers from different camps kind of falling in love in the 60s, and it just kind of...
It's such an adorably geeky movie.
It's so geeky,
but
it's
so cute.
It can get a little bit intense at times. It has some...
Yeah, yeah.
It has this veneer of being all sweet and adorable. It's sort of like the Royal Tenenbaums, where if you watch Tenenbaums, it has that veneer of being very warm and inviting, but it's this really dysfunctional family, and there's some nastiness going on. But the sweetest,
that makes it so funny.
It's the sweetest, most adorable nastiness you'll ever see on the silver screen. There's also Chernobyl Diaries.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Is. I did.
Did you get it to review on Blu-ray?
No, I didn't.
Did you go see it in the theater?
I did.
Yes.
Yes. Does that surprise you?
Yeah. Usually you don't check those out late.
I did.
What'd you think?
That was before I had a child.
Well, yeah. Those things tend to suck.
I could
the
do
life
things
out of
like that back then.
Way back in my days of youth.
I was so bored.
I don't know why I sounded like Julia Child right then.
That's what you sounded like before you had children.
Yes, I did. No. Oh, carefree. What'd you think of Chernobyl Diaries?
I was bored.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't think that really anything happened. And I was sitting in my seat there going, okay, when is something going to happen? Anybody?
There was a bear in it.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with anything.
Spoiler alert.
There's a bear.
I like Chernobyl Diaries. It was better than I thought it was going to be. And then people just raked it over the coals, which tends to be what happens. So there's a movie like Chronicle where people like gushed over and like, oh, that's such a great movie. I'm like, that movie was terrible. Go see Here Comes the Boom instead. And then...
And there you have it.
Yes. There's also the latest Madagascar movie, Circus Afro.
Yes.
Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, DVD, Blu-ray, 3D Blu-ray.
I'm not going to sing the song.
You're not going to do?
I'm not.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the circus, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Afro, circus, Afro.
Keep going.
Circus, Afro, polka dot, Afro.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was my Chris Rock impression.
It's a very good one.
When I saw Madagascar 3 in the theater with my son, Ben, who's 9. Oh. Well, he's 8 when I saw it, with him. They gave us circus noses, these little clown noses. And so we put them on, and what I did is rolled the windows down because it was summer. And I said, okay, you can sing that song as loud as you possibly can. He stuck his head out the window, and he's there screaming Circus Afro. We weren't moving. No.
You know, they also handed out the afros.
That's right.
And I really wanted one, but I thought that, you know, a pregnant woman punching out a small child just to get an afro on the way out of the movie.
It's understandable.
Well, you know, it was hormonal.
Yeah, that's your excuse for everything. You can still use that excuse.
You think?
Well, your daughter's how old?
3 months.
You can, like, murder people.
Oh.
You can murder people and still get away with it, I think.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Just, you wish
you knew
that.
Well, now I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
You're like, yeah, that's right. I've got my list.
Thank you.
The other one that is new to DVD, I'm curious if you saw this one or what you think about it, is 2016.
I have not seen it.
America.
No. Have you?
I did. I got the Blu-ray. I don't know if they're releasing it on Blu-ray. It's kind of Blu-ray for documentaries.
Yeah, it's...
It's kind of pointless. Unless it's like a nature documentary.
Right.
And this isn't a nature.
Or something like by Werner Herzog in 3D.
Yeah. No, I you know, go Werner. you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're talking about some DVDs that are new this week, and we're talking about 2016 Obama's America. Now, this is a very short shelf life now because it's going to be completely pointless in like 3 weeks because
right.
Once the election happens.
That's why they've got to get it out now.
Yeah, he's either going to be in and you're stuck with him, or he's going to be out and you did your job, Dinesh D'Souza.
Although, there you go.
Did you hear Dinesh D'Souza was... He had a little bit of a scandal this week.
No.
He had his own October surprise. Apparently, he's been traveling with a woman and introducing her as his fiancée. It's not his wife.
Oh. So.
I find it interesting that news story broke the day his DVD hit.
Interesting.
But it's politics. So, anyways, here's my problem with 2016 Obama's America. I mean, it's sort of the Fahrenheit 9/11 for Obama, where Fahrenheit 9/11 was for George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on where you fall on the aisle. You know, if you're on the right, you're going to be like, yes, this is a great, insightful movie that every American should see.
Right.
And if you fall on the left side of the aisle, you're going to be like, this is utter hogwash. My problem with the movie is the same kind of problem I had with – well, Michael Moore's a better filmmaker than Dinesh D'Souza. But the problem with 2016 Obama's America is it's not about him. it's a big hit piece on him. But it's like, well, his dad used to do this.
Well.
And he went to school with a guy who – joined this group.
Nice.
And he used to have phone calls with a guy who was a communist. And so they sort of make all these associations, but none of them...
Well, and this is one of those movies that really, what is the purpose?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to change anybody's mind about anything in the end? No.
No. And I mean, I don't think it's something that... And even then, it's just not very compelling. It's not well made. There's a lot of... They do this weird thing where D'Souza talks on the phone with people, so they have a camera on him, like, walking through Dartmouth College or wherever he's from. I think it was some Ivy League school. And then they have a camera on the guy talking to him in his office, and I'm like, they're literally filming people talking to each other on cell phones.
Nice.
Which is not a compelling thing to watch.
Not so much.
But it's sort of like if you took all the points that it was making and you did one of those murder boards from like Law and Order or something like that. And you have all the yarn and the string. You'd have Obama in the center and none of the strings would actually connect to him. They all connect to just people around him. So, yeah, I mean, if you're conservative, you're going to like it and you're going to think, oh, everyone should see it because this guy's, you know, anti-colonial psychopath kind of thing.
Mm.
But it's, you know, played well in its market. But on the other hand is, you know what, liberals, let them have it. Let the conservatives have this movie. You guys had Fahrenheit 9/11. Let the conservatives have this movie. You can't sit there and bemoan Fahrenheit 9/11 for its problems, which there are many, and then defend Obama's America because it has a lot of the same problems or different problems.
Yeah.
So that's that. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, talking a little bit about DVDs. We've got two TV shows I want to highlight on DVD. One is Mad Men Season 5.
Mm.
Do you watch Mad Men?
I don't.
You don't?
I've always wanted to. That's another one of those that by the time I knew what was going on, I was like, oh, it's too late.
You're like the only person.
Into that show.
You're the only person I know who would equate Paranormal Activity
I know,
to Mad
and
Men.
It's terrible, but it's true. And I used to be in advertising.
Oh,
so that's why I really want to see it. But
you weren't in advertising in the 60s.
Well, no, but
if you were,
it was
be
almost
secretary.
Like it. It was a lot like it, actually. If you talk to any of the people who worked with me in advertising, they would tell you that the advertising agency that I worked for was an awful lot like working in advertising in the 60s.
Really?
Yeah. I was a girl.
I used to do marketing, and I do enjoy the parts because I was watching some of Season 5. I got it to review, and it was – and I haven't watched the first four seasons, so I don't know how it all fits together, but – but it's an extremely well-made show, very well-made. And what I find funny about it is when they have the meetings. My favorite parts of the meetings are the clients. because the clients are so freaking stupid. Because they're like pitch this really brilliant idea and they're like, can we have a turtle in it? And you're just like,
that's how it works.
That is
how it works. I've been in that meeting.
It's excruciating to
and
watch.
You know, you put together this whole campaign. You know, I had it so many times where I would write this brochure that I was like, I have researched what you do, even though it is boring. Yeah. And I've researched it, and I've written something brilliant that your customers will, you know, cry over. And they're like, no, I'd rather have this. And then they just rewrite it.
Yeah.
Themselves. I'm like, this isn't even grammatical, but okay.
Or what I always found is that you say, like, give me the three most important things. Well, here's eight. No, give me three. Because no one will read eight. So.
Right.
There's also Psych Season 6, which is a great show.
Which I watch. Website.
That's a great
show. We found a show that I watch.
Yay! And we only got like half, less than a minute.
Never
anything,
mind.
Anything salient you want to say about Psych?
No, and now I'm on the spot.
No.
It's a great show.
It's good. The stinker of the week is That's My Boy. It's just so bad. So awful. And I hear whenever I've met comedians and I'll like complain about Sandler's movies and they will defend Sandler because they'll be like, he's the nicest guy in Hollywood. And I've heard that.
And I'm sure he is. And I love some of his movies. So many of his movies, in fact.
But not the new ones.
No.
Anyways, review wrap up. Paranormal Activity 4 gets a preemptive suck. Alex Cross gets two total sucks. Next week we got Chasing Maverick. Fun size. Cloud Atlas, Silent Hill, Revelation. We'll talk to you guys later.